Previously, on Adventure.
When we last saw our intrepid adventurers, they were enjoying a post-fight beverage in their new favourite Neverwinter Goblin Tavern. They had just escaped the wrath of a very large homicidal red dragon, but now they hear what sounds like explosions outside. Jeffrey, the barkeep, new shift, runs up to the end of the bar and shouts, "Guys! Good news! All of the noise from these explosions and fireworks outside seems to have scared the dragon away for good! Happy Goblin New Year! Drinks on me!" So you're just sitting in the bar, enjoying the drink.
The bartender sounds a lot like Thrace.
Yeah. Alright, so as you guys are sitting around, there's Redfield, Julian, Thrace, and Hendley. And you're enjoying your drink, the bar starts to vibrate. Subtly at first, but building up until you can hear all the glasses and the bottles in the bar clinking and jangling together. All of a sudden, the floor of the bar beneath Thrace changes shape, and a huge grey smoky portal opens beneath her and drops her right through, bar stall and all. Just as quickly as it opens, it snaps shut, and you just see Thrace's empty glass spinning on the floor where she once was.
Yeah, Henley, what did you do?
I'm not sure we're getting the whole story.
Is it always like this?
sorry, Redfield. Yes, it's generally like this.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
Is there a big smoky hole that can also suck me up?
Barman, Jeff.
Yep.
Does this happen around here often? We just lost our friend.
No. That's a new one on me.
I'm pretty sure she was going to take care of the tap, so, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, that's not really how this works.
No, she definitely left a... retainer. What do they call it at a bar?
Tab.
She left her card behind the bar.
You know what? All right, guys. Listen. I know this is really unusual, so I'm kind of going to let you off for this one, because the truth of the matter is we've got a comedy night tonight, and none of you guys bought your tickets in advance, so I'm afraid you're going to have to leave.
That's okay by me.
In fact, Redfield, can you give this nice bartender a couple gold pieces so we don't have to come here and listen to comedy?
Hey, come on. But listen. No, you guys gotta leave.
All right. Okay, well, I guess we're leaving then. Do you know why our friend fell down a smoky portal?
I don't know. I just pour the drinks.
Okay. All right, let's get out of here.
I feel like we should be a little bit more concerned that Thrace is gone.
I know.
But I'm also not at all concerned.
Somehow it seems like it would be inevitable that she would be gone for some reason. I don't know. I had that feeling like it had to happen.
So you walk outside the bar. You're in Neverwinter. So just a regular old street. There is two roads leading away from this tavern. There is a road that goes towards the city gates on the outside, and there is one that leads into the city center.
I'm not ready to leave. I mean, why would we leave, right?
I'll say we go to the city.
Let's go to the city. There's got to be another bar, right?
with more accommodation.
Oh, without a comedy night or a cover. I'm not going anywhere that has a cover, okay?
None of those velvet rope things either. We're not going to put up with them.
See some crappy band playing songs they didn't write to pay $20 to do it. 20 gold pieces, sorry.
I love how concerned you all are about Thrace having been sucked down into a big smoky hole. Can we find another bar? You're going to walk towards the city centre. Now, as you turn the corner from the road onto the alley that takes you to the city centre, or the city, you feel a shift in the air. It's suddenly noticeably cooler, and clouds have covered the sky. You can no longer see any other Neverwinter residents around. In fact, you can neither see nor hear another living creature. You strain to look into the shadows, and you realize that looking back at you are four cold blue glowing lights. And out step two undead whites and block your path ahead. They both draw their bows and attack. And so you are now in battle with these two whites.
All I wanted to do was go to the bar, and now we gotta deal with this nonsense.
Oh, okay. One. Good start. 14.
Ho! 20!
The whites are unusually out in daylight.
Okay.
So you are going to get to go first regardless. These two whites are just pacing up and down and taking a good little look at you, but they seem like not the greatest because it's bright daylight and they're not happy.
The whites are always messing things up for everybody else.
Absolutely. Two whites right in front of you. Hendley, what are you going to do?
Okay, I'm going to take my two daggers and and dual wielding, throw them with both hands, trying to hit each of these whites both at the same time. One's going left, one's going right. That is a 16.
That is a hit.
All right. So I get 2d4 plus 2 damage. That is a 2. That is a 3. So 5 plus 7 damage for each of them.
Okay. So you throw your daggers, and they basically stick them both right in the shoulder. But unfortunately, even though you can see it, it probably, you know, smarts a little bit, they're both undead, so it doesn't do a huge amount of damage. And we move on to Julian.
They are sort of zombie-esque is what we're...
They are. They are undead. So they're humanoid, and they look like in human form, but they are very much undead.
Okay.
And not necessarily acting under their own volition.
Try burning hands, because that's just the usual...
When you're done with that there, Julian, if you could just retrieve my daggers, I'd appreciate it.
I was just thinking to myself, do I make Hendley actually have to go and, like, pull them back out again, or is he going to lose them now?
With any luck, they'll be roasted to ash, and they'll just be sitting in a pile at the bottom of this. So it is 3d6 plus 1d6 for each level above 2.
Okay, now you have to roll to see if you hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see.
Oops, that's a 9.
You have a modifier?
It's whatever your spellcasting modifier, so it's your intelligence.
Plus three.
Plus your proficiency, so +6. It's +6.
Oh, +6, so 15?
15.
And that hits. So let's see what damage you can do with your burning hands.
Yeah.
Set fire to the world, Julian.
That's right. So it's 3d6 plus 1d for each. If I cast this as a fourth level, it's 5d6s.
So go.
That seems like a lot.
4. 2. 2, 5, 1 there. Last one, 3.
17 points of damage. Okay, so you reach out with your burning hands and you send these flames directly out to these whites. Because they're undead, they're not really showing signs of pain. However, both of them now are slightly on fire. And not doing too great. They're you know, smouldering a little. They've got some flames on
their
shoulders.
Lurching to the sides here
Yeah, look, you know, they're definitely still upright. They're still looking to come at you, but they're kind of on fire at this point. And now we move to Redfield.
It's going to be Sacred Flame. Flame-like radiance ascends on a creature that you can see within range. The target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 radiant damage. The target gains no benefit from cover for the saving throw. The spell damage is increased by 1d8 when you reach 5th level, 11th level, 3d8. So I get 3d8's damage to make a dexterity saving throw.
So you're aiming at one of them, right?
One of them.
One feature.
The one on the right.
The one on the right?
The one on the right.
Okay. The white on the right.
The white on the right.
Okay. So now I have to roll the a saving throw?
Yeah, a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. And what am I trying to get?
You're trying to get over a 12.
14.
Okay, well, you saved then.
Okay, so that was your turn?
It does not hit, yes.
Okay, all right. So you go, put your hands out for this thing, and it goes, sizzle. And they both kind of look at you, still, again, a little smouldery, very much alive undeads.
Okay.
So now the one on the right sees that you were aiming for him, so he's going to come straight back at you, Redfield.
Okay.
So I get to make 2 longsword attacks, or 2 longbow attacks. So I am going to attack Redfield this first time. +2.
That's a hit.
So my longsword, I'm going to come towards you, and I get to do 1d8 plus 2. That's 7 plus 2, so 9 points of damage. So I'm going to swing at you wildly with my longsword.
All right.
And I give you a glancing blow.
Okay.
And do 9 points worth of damage to Redfield.
All right.
And then I'm going to turn around because standing next to him is Julian. So I'm going to make my second attack on Julian.
That's what I'm talking about.
I rolled a 9 plus 2, so 11.
14,
I don't believe,
armor,
yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm swinging wildly, and after making a glancing blow on Redfield, I swing for Julian, but miss. the right, white Spencer
because I have ducked down because I'm peeing myself as usual.
So you ducked down to see just how much pee was on the floor. And yes.
In
so
both
now,
directions.
So now the second white is going to follow that up. So he's going to come running at Julian, who ducked the first white. That's a 12 plus 2 is 14, which I believe is still a miss. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for my second attack, I'm going to... So I swing around and I miss Julian again because somehow Julian is doing some weird Matrix-y shit where I keep swinging, yet somehow he's not quite in the right place. And this one is a 16 plus 2, which is 18. So now I'm going to do 1d8 plus 2 damage to you because finally I make a little contact with Julian, but only a little because it's 2.
Two. Oh, okay.
So 4 points of damage in total. Okay, so now we are back to Henley.
I'm going to go scream and run with my bladed quarterstaff. I'm going to slice the one on the right. Yeah, trying to basically do like a diagonal bisecting is kind of what he's looking to try here. 19.
That is a hit.
I didn't even add my attack modifier. Going from right to left, the white on the right. This is a 1d6 plus a dagger. D6 is a 1. And the dagger is going to be a 4 and a 1. That's 5 plus 2, 7. So 8 total.
8 total damage. Okay. So you slash at this guy and you get halfway through it. And you definitely, like, you know, you do a little bit of a dissecting, but not all the way through. Your quarterstaff gets a little bit stuck. But he's it's not quite as smooth as you hoped it would go. However, he's definitely not looking great right now. He's smoldering and also has a massive slash all the way through him almost. So now we move on to Julian.
Lightning bolt
the
jinx out of him. That's what I'm saying.
So a nice little crackly finger action from Julian.
Yeah, stroke of lightning forming a line 100 feet by 5 feet. And we'll do that at, I don't know, third level.
Okay.
So you need to do a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Which is an 11 plus... Is an 11 plus 2, so 13. Is that enough? To save...
Oh, it's 8 plus your spellcasting modifier, so it's going to be 14. It's going to be
not enough. I rolled an 11.
So it's 8d6 lightning damage plus 1 for each above 3, so it's 9d6s.
Okay, roll away. Yeah, it's so crazy.
3. 1. 2. 6. Two.
34 points?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Julian, the sparks erupt from the ends of your fingers and you throw out into this alleyway, which, by the way, is surrounded by people's houses, but again, we'll, you know, not be worried about that bit.
Collateral damage.
You throw these lightning sparks out and all of the fire on the whites goes out because they've both just crumpled to the floor in masses of... You know, basically, like, they look like they're charged, but they're just lying dead on the floor. And you have defeated both of the whites with your lightning.
I knew I could do it.
Yeah, go pick up your knives and maybe that staff. We might need those later.
Yes, Henley, would you like to go pick up your weapons?
I'll do it when I'm good and ready, which just happens to be right now.
Hello, this is Justin, your audio engineer. Thank you for listening to Season 3 of Adventure. And thanks, as always, to the cast and Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio for letting us use some of their sounds. And most importantly, you who's listening. Thank you for listening and your support. It is very much appreciated. Well, it looks like, almost as predicted, that Thrace is nowhere to be seen now for this season. Looking forward to seeing what's up with her and what the rest of the group can do to get her back. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun stuff in store for this season. A couple new things. But you'll find some of that out next episode. Without further ado, we have some more transmissions from Henley. This time, not one of the not best reviews we've ever gotten. But enjoy and see you next episode. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Henley. I'm going to read some things out that you've said about us and our show. Some will be nice, some will be not so nice. All of it I don't care about, but someone's got to do it. So here we are. A Little Late to the Party by JCU Empire. I recently decided I wanted to get into D&D, so I scoured the internet for information. I came across this podcast, and as they were just starting out, it was a perfect introduction for me. It helps that the team has incredible chemistry, and they're enjoying the experience. It's given me a lot of confidence to jump into the fray. Thank you. No, JCU Empire. Thank you. Aria Dale, which is obviously a fake name, says, love the podcast. This podcast is great. I love how the party comes together. So far, I've listened to all the episodes and can't wait to hear more. Brian is great as a new dungeon master. I think he's whatever, he's rubbish. Henley's a great character, that I agree with. I laugh every time. Keep up the good work. And this is my favorite one, from 420 Trent. Find another podcast. Avoid this one. 1 star. No one on this show has a clue when it comes to adherence to the rules and how roles are supposed to work. It's time for a TPK and nuke this show. Pick anything else and you'll be listening to a better D&D podcast. 420 Trent, you sound like a lot of fun at parties. Let's get a beer sometime. Cheers. Alright, that's it for this time, this week, this time, this week. I'm not sure where we are, but it's always an adventure, isn't it?
So as these whites collapse onto the floor and you realize you've beaten them, you hear footsteps behind you running. And all of a sudden, a small humanoid man, looks very much like a human, runs up to you and says, "Oh dear, I am so sorry. I heard these animals had been sent to you, but I wasn't able to warn you in time. My name is Samuel. I am a friend. If Thrace is not with you, then I fear the worst has already happened. There have been rumors from the east of similar portals and similar disappearances. I don't believe your friend is dead, but I do believe she needs your help. If you head over to Kazi's stagecoach company at the Neverwinter Docks, you will be able to take a coach to the Dragonborn Kingdom, and maybe there you will find some clues as to what has befallen your friend. But now, I must take my leave. I will not be far away if you run into trouble."
Leave us a business card there, Samuel.
And with this, the man runs off as quickly as he arrived.
Who was he talking about there?
She carried you around in her pants for episode after episode there, Henley. Exactly. Protected you from everything.
Exactly.
All right. The large one.
So would you like to follow Samuel's advice and...
Can we get a drink first? No, I think we should definitely... Let's head to the stage company.
Yes. So if you'd like to go to the stagecoach company, you're just going to walk in the direction of the docks. When you arrive in the dock area, you see a large sign for the Kazi Stagecoach Company. As you head in, you are greeted by a friendly elf lady. Howdy, I'm Kazi. Here comes a really bad American accent. Welcome
I'm
to
so
my
excited.
Welcome to the main station for my stagecoach company. Today is a no.
Please never change.
You can't make me laugh because I'll just lose my shit. Sorry, deep breath. Today is a special day for the low, low price of 30 gold pieces. I will transport you to the location of your choice. And there will also be a special gift for each of you waiting on board. So what do you say?
Well, first of all, where are you from? Because I got
to know.
Love your accent.
So if you would like to take Kazi up on her offer, it is 30 gold pieces each, but you get the trip to the Dragonborn Kingdom.
30 gold pieces each?
This is first class, though, right? For 30 gold pieces.
Always in my stagecoach.
I'll feel like we were just approached on the street, told to go here, and now we got a fork over non-deep gold pieces. I think that's math.
Nicely done.
It's true, yes. Yeah. I wonder if the little guy
Samuel?
Works... Yeah, I remember his name. I'm playing... Excuse me, Dungeon Master, okay? Excuse me, God. I'm talking to my friends. I mean, the little guy works for this.
It's going to be a shill,
she's just
right?
Like, you know, oh, you got to go to this place, you know? They kidnap people, and then they make you think that... So I think we should go walk around Neverwinter for a while, ask a lot of questions to a lot of people.
Check on some doors.
Resurrect some goblins.
Resurrect some goblins. I don't remember how much money I had.
Well, you had at one point $1,800 in your bag, and we gave all of it $1,200. Gold pieces.
1,200.
Yes.
That's right.
So I do believe at least Redfield has enough money to cover everyone.
I have 600.
Hendley always seems to have a little bit of cash from somewhere.
He did just come back from the dead, yeah. So I don't know if that's...
Yeah. I had 103.
Okay. So...
Henley's turning his pockets out like Uncle Pennybags.
Okay.
Like, he's got nothing.
Yeah. All right.
So what'll it be, guys?
All right, look, and Redfield goes into his bag of holding and takes out 70 gold pieces and says, this is all we have.
I love Redfield.
Can we make it work?
Well, I guess so.
All right, great.
Henley runs up. He swipes 10 gold pieces away and goes, actually, this is all we've got.
Oh, sir, the price of fuel is very expensive nowadays.
It's a coach with horses.
You've got to feed the horses.
Give her back the 10 gold pieces, Henley.
And he's just giving Redfield a side eye as he slowly pushes the money back and walks away deflated.
Well, thank you very much to you, sir, and fuck you, Mr. whoever you are.
Oh, Cass is more top of people.
Don't you mistake my accent for some, like, you know, I'm not some sucker.
Okay.
And the little elf lady opens up the stagecoach door for you guys, and you climb in. Sitting on the seat is a gift for all of you. And I'm going to tell you what your gifts are now.
Wait, three? One gift for each of us?
Yes, one gift for each of you.
All right.
In Redfield's seat, there is a metal tube. And it is labeled Vapor of the Giants.
Mm.
One puff of this device doubles both your physical size and your physical attack damage for one turn.
Okay.
The cartridge contains 3 doses.
Okay, times 3.
I'm not convinced that's not a band that Jay loves.
Yeah, Vapor of the Giants, yeah. So that's Redfield's special.
Double physical damage, right?
Yes, okay. It doubles your size and your physical attack damage.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
Not magic, but physical attack damage. And 3 doses.
Gotcha.
So on the seat next to it is the special gift for Julian. This is a vial labeled Potion of the Firestarter. Mm. This potion grants immunity to fire damage for the duration of a battle, but it can only be used on another creature.
Oh.
So that is your special gift.
Thank you.
And then a special gift for Henley.
Yes.
Or maybe not. You have a vial labeled Potion of the Healer. It's a health potion that instantly restores 20 hit points, but it lowers your armor class by 10.
What? That is a bad deal.
I guess you should have paid the full amount, shouldn't you?
Oh, that's rough.
So yes, they all have their good side and their downsides. Well, it also it comes with the proviso, like all of these things, that you don't necessarily have to use it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Fair, good point.
Okay, so if you really want to be a dick, you can be like, here you go, Julian, have some health points, but now you've got no armor class. You can take that piss-stained rag off now and just stand there in your underpants. Okay, so as you take a look at your new gifts, you feel a lurch as the stagecoach rumbles away from the docks. You look out the rear window and you watch as Neverwinter gradually fades away, and you begin your long trek towards the east. A few hours later, you all awake from a nice long rest. Hint, hint, put your hit points back to normal. Kazzy leans down from the front seat outside of the stagecoach and peers in the window and says, "We have arrived at the Dragonborn Kingdom, but you might want to take a look at this."